The former science fiction writer Philip K. Dick was known for thinking we were actually still living in Roman times. There are a whole heap of other activities that often suggest that, well, maybe, you know, we are in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Addressing that fact in a contemporary notion certainly sort of is at the heart of a study that's revealed today and released today by Total War, Rome 2, reveals a quarter of British adults would vote for the political policies of ancient Rome's maddest men. To put some flesh on the bones of this and begin to address some of the key areas that certainly the report entails as well, who better than indeed one of the fantastic historians and indeed top TV presenters when it comes to matters of historical narrative and so on, the fabulous Julian Richards. How are you, Julian?
That's a wonderful introduction. Thank you very much.
It's the way forward. That's the critical thing for this. So it's headed The Mad Manifesto. What exactly was the rationale behind putting this together? Was it a case of, yeah, Caligula, Cameron? Well, they begin with C. You know, who knows?
Oh, that's an interesting comparison. I haven't thought of that one. No, I think it as part of doing the research for this new game, because, you know, there is a huge amount of historical research that goes into them. Mm. The team who were doing it started looking at some of the policies of the emperors, because it's all about, you know, strategy and plotting as well as just battling, and realised that actually there's quite a few of them that if you dress them up in modern language, you know, you remove references to Rome and things like that, then they do seem remarkably similar to modern day policies. So the idea was to create this manifesto and test it out on a 2,000 people questionnaire to see whether people recognised these as ancient policies or how much they agreed with them. And, you know, to me, the results, well, in some ways they're surprising, but in some ways, if you consider that, you know, Roman emperors had got an empire to run, you know, they, and the concerns of the people then were the same as they are today, effectively, in some ways it's not surprising that they resonated so well with people today. You know, there have been some quite surprising results from it, not only in terms of what people voted for, but also in terms of people's political persuasions. You know, there's policies that you wouldn't have thought that if that's their politics, they would have voted for.
Well, if you're allegedly fiddling whilst the city actually burns, Nero's views on tax, abolishing all income tax, greeted very favourably, I would have thought.
Surprise, surprise. Yes. The thing is, you know, a lot of emperors did this as a temporary thing. Mm. You know, if you came to power, particularly if you'd come into power through some sort of violent act, then it was a way of sort of appeasing people. You know, OK, we'll have a temporary tax break. And it was terribly popular. But of course, you can't do it on a permanent basis, because if nobody's paying any tax, then you haven't got any money coming in and you can't run your administration. While I can say that was incredibly popular, although it wasn't the most popular policy. I mean, about 44% of people thought that was a good idea, but I suspect that today people are astute enough to realise that you can't do it on a permanent basis. I mean, the most popular ones, the ones that sort of it really hit the mark with people, was one about increasing trade with foreign allies and providing support to business and industry. Now, of course, that resonates very strongly with our present economic climate,
and
doesn't it?
Augustus at his finest, really,
that
from that perspective.
That was Augustus. Yeah, I mean, Augustus really did come up with, you know, considering when he was emperor, you know, this is sort of at the end of the 1st century BC, beginning of the 1st century AD. You know, some of his policies are very, very far-thinking. Mm. And the other incredibly popular one, which was from Caesar, is about huge investment and repair work in the nation's road networks.
I hadn't quite seen Rome as actually having HS2 or HS1 on the books.
Well, no. I mean, obviously, that's our big debate at the moment, isn't it? You know, do we need that? Or actually, people are saying what we need is an improvement overall.
Straight roads. That's what they want in Rome. Straight roads.
Well, they certainly, you know, if you look at what was here in this country before the Romans arrived, you know, there were communication networks, but nothing like the road network we've got today. And, you know, how many of us today still drive around on what's basically that Roman road network?
Julian, don't get me started on what the Romans did for us. It's a different sign entirely, but, you know, I'm sure we could actually debate long into the evening with respect to that. Clearly, the fictional character Malcolm Tucker is cited with respect to modern politics being an omni-shambles.
Yes.
Half of those surveyed wholeheartedly preferred places in the Roman Manifesto, or policies, I would say, in the Roman Manifesto, to anything served up by any of our current politicians.
Yes. Yeah. Now, does this show a disillusionment with modern politics? You know, I think there is an awful lot, you know, of disillusionment out there, don't you?
Would they have actually been arguing to actually support a war against a possible aggressor, or indeed a situation where you'd actually say, well, we'll throw two missiles in and you can have 250 as we actually invade parts of Syria or do various other things? That's another political issue with that side of things.
But, yes, I mean, that's a very, very hot political topic at the moment, isn't it?
Indeed.
I mean, there's a huge difference between, you know, between Rome and today, though, because, you know, basically who was to say what Rome was to do? You know, there were no laws that they were obeying. If they fancied invading somewhere to pacify it, or simply for economic gain, then they did it, because, you know, who was to say no? We live in a slightly different political climate today, don't we?
So the classic line, and I'm not sure it's Sun Tzu and the Art of War who came up with the notion of those who do not learn from the mistakes of history are doomed to repeat it. So that's often a mantra that comes through in a number of
I think
works.
That's very, very true in so many ways. I mean, you know, you only look at, you know, environmental damage that we're causing, and you can look back and see examples in history of that, and certainly political decisions that have gone disastrously wrong. You know, if people had looked at the history a bit more carefully, they might have realised that some things weren't perhaps that wise.
Don't go there. No. And is this a way in which, obviously, the PC strategy game Total War, Rome 2, which is full title from that point of view, can that actually sort of help an understanding? I mean, can we see this being used on an educational point of view as well?
I think it does, because I don't think that you can play something like this without absorbing a lot of history. And, of course, what it also does is it enables you to do what historians love doing, and that's playing the what-if card. You know, if you actually look at something that you know the historical outcome of, but you tweak it, which you can obviously do with this, to say, OK, I won't invade that country, I'll put my effort into this. And, of course, it then evolves in a totally different way. So that lovely question about what would have happened if somebody had done something in a different way, it actually plays out in this. So I think that, you know, these things have got a great educational value because, like I say, I can't see how you can play them and not absorb some of the lessons of history.
Six series of Meet the Ancestors, and of course classic follow-up in terms of the sort of construction of Stonehenge, and indeed Blood of the Vikings, a five-part series, which I think we need more of from that particular perspective. What is it about what was happening two millennia ago that you found particularly fascinating, Julia?
What was happening at
the
time?
From your own perspective, what is it? I mean, as opposed to saying, well, no, I prefer the ancient Greeks.
I've always been fascinated with the history of this country and with what happens to us, you know, at the time of the Roman conquest and the Roman invasion, and in particular what happens afterwards as well, because in some ways for us it's a 4th century interlude, after which we almost revert back to being how we were
barbarians
before. Oh no, don't use that.
No,
don't use that term.
I know the
Romans refer to us as Brituncule, which means wretched little Brits, which I really do object
you
to
see,
very
even,
strongly.
Even in these days of the EU, they haven't changed, have they? You know, it's just
no,
the line entirely.
They're fascinating times, yeah. because I just find all of history fascinating, and I'd like to think that by being involved with it and helping to educate people in it, then we can learn some of those lessons from the past and perhaps not make the mistakes again in the future.
Very much so. Well, this is going out, obviously, to our citizens in Lincoln, which in its own way has got a wealth of Roman history.
It's got a fascinating history,
exactly,
yes.
From Lindum onwards. And it's been an absolute joy to connect with your good self today, Julian Richards, with respect to the whole piece. We've got two critical questions for you. I feel like I should really ask you them in Latin, but I won't, actually, because it's...
Well, that's a relief.
It's fine. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive today?
Yes, it's been very interesting.
So,
I've really enjoyed it.
Given your historical expertise and presentational expertise, can we possibly prevail upon you to maybe join us again, maybe even come up to the university and talk to some of our students at Lincoln and various other things
the
thoughts?
Yes, I've been up to Lincoln a couple of times to talk to people there, and I'm always happy to come and talk to people about you know, your history, my history, and my passion for it. So if there's an invitation going, I'm happy to come up to Lincoln.
I think we will definitely sort of set the wheels in motion to get that established, so to speak. As long as it's a straight road, that's the important thing, obviously, from that point of view.
Okay.
Julian Richards, historian and TV presenter extraordinaire. Many thanks indeed.
Thanks very much, then. Bye-bye.